Okay, we're on Daf Chav tonight. We're on Sukkah 20a. So let me just go over briefly from yesterday. So if you remember yesterday, we learned in Mishnah, we're talking about a machatzelet shel kanim. If it's a reed mat, R-E-E-D, a reed mat. So it depends if it's used for sleeping or sitting, then it's a kli. It's not kosher for schach. And on the other hand, and then it's makabel tuma. If it's not used for if it wasn't, you know, designated to be for sitting or lying on, then it's not makabel tuma, and I designate it for schach. I could use it for schach. Question is, what if I don't designate it for either one? What is the default? So the Mishnah, a lot of these dinim were not clear. So the Mishnah said that from one line of the Mishnah, it said, Machatzelet kanim gedola asal shechiva makabel tuma v'imisachin bo. So you have a big mat and you make it to lie on, it's mekabel tuma, and you can't use it for schach. But it sounds like if you don't designate it for lying on, you could use it for schach. And as long as it's not designated for lying on, you're okay. But then the next line of the Mishnah says, l'sikuch, if you designated it for schach, then misachin ba. Then if you firmly designate for schach, you could use for schach, then mekabel tuma, all the rest, residue, and remainder would be prohibited. So the question is, you know, what if I don't designate it for schach and I don't designate it for shchiva? And then the Tan Reb Lezer says in the Mishnah that the same din applies for Tan and Gedola, and we don't understand his shita. Anyway, make a long story short, the Gemara gave a hesber for the Chachamim, which the Gemara will keep till the end, which is, according to Chachamim, if it's a large mat, then the default is for schach. If you make a large mat, then we presume that you made it for schach, even if you don't designate it for schach. If it's a small mat, according to the Chachamim, then it defaults over for shchiva, and you can't use it for schach. Okay, so the shita of the Chachamim, that we got figured out. But the shita of Reb Lezer is giving us problems. So let's take a look, four lines from the bottom. Again, we did this last night. I'm going to go over from last night a little bit, and then we'll go on. So four lines from the bottom on Yutet, 19b, four lines from the bottom. Ilama Rabba. So Rava says that if it's a large mat, everybody agrees that it goes for schach. It was the pause for schach. But the machloket between the chachamim and the Tana Reb Lezer concerns a small mat. Tana Kama sabar stam kana shchiva. Tana Kama holds that a plain small mat defaults over for shchiva, for lying, reclining on. Reb Lezer Sabar Stam Kana Nami the Sikuk. Reb Lezer holds that a small mat is also for Sikuk. So the way the Gemara is saying right now, we think that the Tana Reb Lezer holds that, like all mats, I assume if it could be used for Sikuk, are for Sikuk, unless if it's a small mat and specifically designated for lying, then it's lying. Everything else defaults over for Sikuk. That's what we think the Pshat in the Mishnah is. 1 minute. So the Gemara says on the top line of Chaf Amud Aleph, "V'hachi kamar." This is what the Mishnah says: "Machatzelat akanim gedola." If I have a large reed mat, asa ad l'shchiva mekabel tuma. If I made it for lying on, then it's mekabel tuma. That's shita chachamim ve'imisachin ba, and I can't use it for sichuch. Tama da asa l'shchiva only because I designate for shchiva. Hastama nasa t'misha asa l'sichuch misachin ba. So stam, it's like I made it for sichuch. Then in parentheses, Marshall takes these words out, but we'll read them and then we'll go on. Tano asa al sikuch, if it's a small mat and he makes it for, and he designates it for sikuch, then mesachin ba. Tamad asa al sikuch, astaman asa kmisha asa shchiva in mesachin ba, to pulse over for shchiva. Ba'at Reb Lezer more than the Tano Reb Lezer says, achat ketana v'achat gedola, whether it's a small mat or a large mat, stama ksheira al sikuch. That stama, it's kasher l'sichel. So again, so the key here is Tana Reb Lezer. The Chachamim we had already. I'm just repeating. The Chachamim hold if it's a large mat, then stam is for schach. The small mat, stam is for shchiva. And then I could designate anything other ways. So if I have a small mat, designate for sikuch, or I could have a large mat designated for shchiva. But if it's I don't designate it, a large mat is presumably for schach. And a small mat is presumably for shchiva. That's what we think with the Chachamim. And we think the Tan Reb Lezer holds that whether it's a small mat or a large mat, anything that can be used for schach, that I assume is for schach, unless I specifically say it's for shchiva. That's what we think. So that's the pshat. That's the pshat that Rava gave. Now, Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says to Rava, "I hachi, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, Reb Lezer Omer Achad Katan V'Achad Gedola." The Reb Lezer says whether it's a small mat or a large mat, the same din applies. So he says Achad Gedola V'Achad Katan Mibayle. So he should say whether it's a large mat or a small mat. In other words, the more obvious case you say first. So they should say whether the large mat, where we both agree that it defaults over for schach, or if it's a small mat, even then it defaults over for schach, if your pshat Rava is correct. But Ode, in addition, that's one nail in the coffin of Rava's hesber. And in the Mishnah says, Reb Lezer Omer, achad katana b'chad gedola. Then, but Ode, he plei b'gedola hu plei. In addition to which, according to you, Rava, there's no machloket by gedola. By Gedola, Reb Lezer and Chachamim agree that it defaults over for Schach. But we see there is a machloket by Gedola in the following brisa. He says, the Reb Lezer, the Chumran, Reb Lezer is more stringent in that case. The Tanya, we learn the brisa, Machatzelet Akanim, it's a reed mat, the Gedola Mesachin Ba. So Gedola, you can use it for Schach, according to the Chachamim, that's in Bitsum Well, you don't designate it, use it for Schach. Reb Lezer Omer, Im Eina Mekabelatum Mesachin Ba. Tanur Reb Lezer says, the way Rashi understands it, if he designated it for schach, then he could use it for schach. Otherwise, he can't use it for schach. So the one of the cases we're interested in is the stam, where he doesn't designate the default case. So in the Brisa, the Tanur Reb Lezer is saying, Gedola, the large mat, if he doesn't designate it, I can't use it for schach. That contradicts Rabbi's Hezber. So Elam or Apapa, rather, let me just finish all the pshatim, then we'll summarize, we'll take questions. So Elamar Rapapa. Rather, Rapapa says we're around 20 lines down on Chaf Amidala. 20a around 20 lines down. So Elamar Rapapa Bektana. So he's gonna. What Rapapa is gonna say? Machloket is not by Ketana. The Machloket is by the Gedola. So Elamar Rapapa Bektana Kuli Amalo Pliki Distamla Shchiba. Rapapa says by a small mat, everybody agrees it defaults over for Shchiba for sitting and reclining. There's no Machloket by the small mat. Keep. Pliki b'gedola, machloket is the large mat. Tanakama savar stam hilasikuch. Tanakama holds that large mat defaults over for schach. Reb Lezer savar stam gedola nami l'shchiva. And Reb Lezer holds, no, stam, everything is like defaults over for shchiva according to Reb Lezer. Now, umay asa l'shchiva d'kamar. So now, if you look back in the Mishnah, the Tan Reb Lezer said, achad katana v'achad gedola. So again, so the order we're okay with. Because Katana is more obvious, that's for Shchiva. Gedola is less obvious, that's for Shchiva. So Reb Lezer says, whether it's Katana or it's Gedola, Stam is for Shchiva. But he says, Asa'al Shchiva. What does he mean by Asa'al Shchiva? And here it's a little, they have to touch up the words back in the Gemara. He says, Umay Asa'al Shchiva Tekamar, Hachi Kamar. This is what he meant. Stam Asiatan Nami the Shchiva, Ada Abed the Sikot. It means that the default case is for Shchiva. Let me just summarize again. And then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so again, the basic idea we're talking about is using a mat, a reed mat. It sounds so timely. It shows it like plus ça change, plus ça le même chose. Like the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, because a lot of people have like these rollout mats they use for schach today. So like, the issue is if it's kli, it's mekabel tuma, and I can't use it for schach. If it's not a kli, then I could use it for schach. So it's a kli if it's designated as a mat for lying on that makes it a kli. So according to the Maskat of the Gemara, the Chachamim hold the same way that we said from the beginning. The Chachamim hold, if it's a large mat, then the default is for schach. If it's a small mat, the default is for shchiva. But a person could designate whatever he wants. But undesignated, a large mat is for schach, a small mat is for shchiva. That's the Chachamim. The Tana Reb Lezer says all mats default over for Shchiva. Certainly a small mat and even a large mat defaults over for Shchiva unless I designate it otherwise. And so Mamela, that's the way it goes. So if it's for Shchiva, it's Mekabal Tuma and I can't use it for Schach. If it's for Schach, then it's fine. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What do you mean, today or in the Mishnah? What are you talking about? What do you mean? These mats are manufactured specifically to use for the schach on the sukkah, right? Okay, all right. Everybody else good? All right, let's go on. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, the bulk of our daf today is all about mats, okay? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, so we're on midway down the column on Chaf Amud Aleph, 20-way around midway down the column. Okay, so Tana Rabbana, we learn the Braisa, Machatzelet Shel Shifa Shel Gemi. So here, in the Mishnah, we spoke about a Machatzelet of Kanim, a reed mat. So now, the Gemara we're discussing, Machatzelet Shel Shifa Shel Gemi. Sheaf and gemi are like type of rushes, type of plants. So you have a mat that's made of like these plants. Gedola, mesachin ba, tani mesachin ba. So it's saying really the same as the Mishnah, that a large mat, even if it's sheaf and gemi, defaults over for schach. A small mat defaults over for lying, for shechiva. Now, here's the key. The lights go on. So kanim, if it's made out of kanim, is the reed. That's our reed mat. Bishal Chilat, Chilat they said was sedge. Now here, it's not Gedola, it's Gedula with a shuruk. Gedula means if it's braided. It's a little tricky, it's rather tricky. So it means, so if it's a reed mat or a sedge mat, things that grow, but it's braided, misachin ba. If it's braided, it's very uncomfortable to sit on. It's like, so nobody wants to sit on that. So it defaults over for schach. Aruga, if it's woven, that's more smooth. Aruga ain misachin ba. Aruga is more that you're using it to sit on. Now, Rashi takes it that we're talking about a small mat here, a small mat with the kanim and the chilat. So the aruga ain misachin ba. So what, say again, repeat. That's what Rashi takes it with the kanim and the chilat, certainly, a small mat. And the reason is, in other words, in our Mishnah, we had that both the Tanakhama and Reb Lezer agreed that a small reed mat is for Shechiva. That's what they said. So they're talking about, to make them reconciling, they're talking about a woven mat. So we're talking about to reconcile the Braisa with our Mishnah. So we're talking about the Mishnah with a woven mat as a smooth mat. So Amos Sachin Bo. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, says the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, Achad Zu bi Achad Zu Misachin Ba. He says, whether it's Chilat, that's Gedula, the braided mat, or the Aruga, you can use it for Schach, but Chenei Rabbi Yossi Omer Kedvarab, and Rabbi Yossi agreed with him. Rabbi Yossi agreed with him. So keep in mind that Rabbi Yossi says that a Machatzelet Shulchanim, even if it's Aruga, you can use it for Schach, okay? So he's taking it that people don't normally intend it to sit on it. That's it. In other words, whatever, they don't designate that to sit on. Okay, now, all right. So that's that piece. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let's go on. Now, Tanana Tam.
I have a question.
Who is this, Malka? Yeah, go ahead.
Malka. Yeah. What if something is made for a different reason. Like, you know how they have those tatami mats, which I think are made of reed, but they're used for the beach. But even if it was made for a different reason, but you purchased it only for schach, would it be kosher, kosher?
Now you're running into problems. So if it's manufactured with the intent to be used as a seat, and then you want to use it for something else, but now in Lakora, it's a davar shema kabel tuma. So then you can't use it for schach. And you have to ask a posek, but that would be the issue. In other words, if it's manufactured for a sitting, that makes it a keli, and then can't you be used for schach? That's why like the mats they have that they sell for the sukkahs are manufactured specifically for schach purposes. All right, let's go back. All right, everybody mute themselves again, okay? Now back in the Gemara, again, it's 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, Tanana Taham, we learned the Mishnah in the Sechet Eduyot, Kula Chotzalot, Now, chotzalot, up until now, we're talking about machatzelet. Machatzelet was a mat, specifically a reed mat. Now we have chotzalot. And the Gemara is going to explain what chotzalot are. We don't know what chotzalot are, but we'll see. That kula chotzalot mitamin tamei meit, divrei Rabbi Dosa. According to Rabbi Dosa, all the chotzalot, which is going to be type of mat, they're susceptible to being a tamei meit. In other words, they're a keli. So they can become tamei meit. In other words, they're in the olam meit where they touch a dead person. So that only kalim can become a tamei. Somebody's not a keli, you're not an adam, you're not a food, you're not a kalim, you can't become tamei. So they are susceptible to a meit. But Chachamim Omri Midrash. Chachamim is saying it's susceptible to Tumat Midrash. So Daf Yomi people know what's Tumat Midrash. We have four types of people. We have the Zav, the Nida, and the Yoleda. When they sit on something that's designated as a seat, so then that seat becomes the same level of Tumah as they are. They're an Avatuma, and the seat becomes an Avatuma, even if they have 10 seats or it's under 10 sheets, whatever. They all become Tame. It's Avatuma. It doesn't drop down. So the Chachamim say Tumas Midras. So that's the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says Midras in Tmei Meit Lo. You mean it's only susceptible to being a Tumas Midras? And it was this mat, and we'll have to clarify what Matt is talking about, is only Tamei Tumas Midras, not Tmei Meit. But we learned in another Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Masechet Nida, Kol Ami Tamei Midras, whatever is susceptible to Tumas Midras, Mitamei Tmei Meit, is susceptible to Tumas Meit as well. Ema af midras. So it means even from midras. So let's go back over the Mishnah. So the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot teaches me that chotzalot, which we have to clarify what they are, but it's a type of mat, that chotzalot are, according to the Rebbe Dosa, susceptible to Tumat Meit, but are not susceptible to Tumat Midras, meaning we don't view them as a seat, as a seating material. And according to Chachamim, we view them as seating material. So according to Rabbi Dosa, it is a keli, but we don't view it as a seat. But according to Rabbi Dosa, and according to Chachamim, we do view it as a seat. Okay, so now the Gemara says, 10 lines to the bottom, my chotzalot, what are chotzalot? So Amar Rav Dimi Bar Hamduri Mar Zubli. So Rav Dimi Bar Hamduri says that chotzalot are Mar Zubli. So my Mar Zubli, what are Mar Zubli? So Amar Rav Mizavli, Amar Rabbi Abba Mizavle. So Rabbi Abba says Mizavle are like a leather pouch. Leather pouches. So if, assuming this is plug that shot in, so it means a leather pouch. So it means that according to Rabbi Dosa, leather pouches are susceptible to Tumat Meit. They're a keli, susceptible to Tumat Meit. But they're not susceptible to Tumat Midras, they're not a seat, they're just like a pouch. But, and we'll, the Gemara is going to explain in a minute, but according to the Chachamim, sometimes a shepherd will take the pouch and use it as a pillow. And because of that, sometimes use, the Chachamim hold that it is susceptible to Tumat Midras. Let's see back on the Gemara. So, Reb Shimon Lakish Omer, Machatzalot Mamash. Reb Shimon Lakish is that Chotzalot mean Machatzalot Mamash, actual mats, like presumably like a reed mat. The Azda Reish Lakish is a Tame, and Reish Lakish, who said it's a reed mat, goes according to his Shita. The Amar Reish Lakish said, Hareini Kaparat Rabbi Chiyu Banav. I am an atonement for Rabbi Chiyah and his sons. And Rashi is a nice Rashi. You get these little Rashis all over the place, but it's nice to remember where they are and what they say. Three lines at the bottom. Hareini kaparat yisurin haba in alai the kaparat tosher kuban avyu. In other words, whatever afflictions I suffer should be for kapara for Rabbi Chiyah and his sons. L'shon kavod huzeh. That's a very honorable thing to say about somebody. Shumaskir avivo rabo l'charmi tito. When you mention a person's parent, Rahman al-Islam, or his Rebbe, Rahman al-Islam, after their death, so the halakha is for the first 12 months, a person says, you know, Abi Mori Harini Kaparat Mishkavo. I'm an atonement for everything, you know, that, you know, he may have done. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. So he says, so again, six lines from the bottom in the Gemara. The Amarish Lakish Harini Kaparat Rabbi Chibanav. Shebechila, and now this is like an aside, he's explaining, you know, the significance. When the Torah was forgotten from Klal Yisrael, Ezra came from Babel and restored it. So Rashi points out, doesn't mean the whole Torah was forgotten, it means they forgot certain details, and then Ezra came and restored those details. And he restored it because, we'll see in a minute. He says, Chazra v'nishtacha, it was forgotten again, on the Hillel Babel v'yistah. Hillel came and he reestablished it. And if you look at Rashi, on the bottom line in Rashi, the last two of the bottom lines, he mentions the Gemara in Pesachim that we had, about B'nai B'tei. Remember when Erev Pesach, I think, came out on Shabbat, so everybody forgot what to do. How do I prepare the Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach's on a Shabbat? And they would bring the lamb, and you know, to the base of the Mikdash, and the knife, and then they would know how to bring the lamb and the knife to the base of the Mikdash. So the B'nai B'Teira, who were heads of the Sanhedrin didn't recall how to do it, and it seems like it was for, like a piyashkacha, so the Hillel wouldn't know, and he got a point for the Nasi, and then they restored it. And then Rashi says the bottom line, well, Hillel HaBavli, Hillel came from Babel, Hillel Babylonian, Shemiyom Shigala Yechanya, Acheresh Vamaskeri Mohaita, Yeshiva Mitzvah Babel. Means that when Yechanya went into Galus, so the Cheresh Lamaskir also went with him. That means the Tamidei Chachamim, it's a code. It means Tamidei Chachamim also went into Galus. So they had more Tamidei Chachamim in Babel than in Eretz Israel. So the Torah was stronger in Babel than in Eretz Israel. So he's bringing it back. He says, so there was a Yeshiva Mitzvah of Babel. So back in the Gemara, he says, so for Allah Bahilo Babel Yista, then Rabbi and his sons came, and they helped reestablish the Torah. Anyway, the point being, Rabbi and his sons, you know, played a prominent role. Here's the key line: Rabbi and his sons both said, or will say, "Lo nechu Rabbi Dosa Chachamim Havachal at social usha," that Rabbi Dosa Chachamim Havachloket whether these chotzalot, which we now are translating as machatzalot, like this type of mats, whether it's subject to tumas mudras. So they didn't have a machloket about the mats from Usha, which is a town in the Galil, Shehein Tameot. Means those very cushy, nice, comforting mats. So everybody agrees that's susceptible to tumas midras, because those are such cushy, soft, like you'd say, like a soft pillow. It's made to sit on. That's the machatzalot from Usha. The Shel Tveria, but the Tiberian ones, Shehein Torot. The ones from Tveria are really rough, and nobody uses it to sit on. Everybody agrees that they're not Tami Mitras. Alman Nechelku al Sha'ar Mekomot. What was the machloket about? It was about these mats from other places other than Usha and Tveria. Mar Savar came and delected the Yatib Alayu Kitveria Damin. One holds, Rabbi Dosa holds, since the people don't sit on it, so it's like the Tiberian mats, and it's not subject to a Midras. Umar Savar came in the Mikri Biyati Alayum, and the Chacham hold on occasion somebody will sit on them. So he says, Kidu Usha Damin. So like the Usha mats, and therefore they are subject to his midrash. All right, now, so let's just summarize again what we did. Okay, 1 minute, let's be patient. Okay, we're going to summarize what we did, and then we're going to take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the major topic is mats. That's the top. Okay, so it feels like the gym here tonight. Everybody's talking about the mats. Okay, now, so, so we had a Mishnah from Masechet Eduyot that all the chotzalot are tamei tumah made according to Rabbi Dosa. That chotzalot are subject to tumah made, meaning they're a keli, subject to tumah made, but not subject to tumah midras. And then that's according to Rabbi Dosa. And let me say they're also subject to tumah midras, so we view them as a type of steep. So we said, what are chotzalot? So the first hesber we had on chotzalot was from Rabbi Dini Bar Hamduri, said that chotzalot are mezablei, which are leather pouches. So leather pouches, according to Rabbi Dosa, it's not a seat, it's a keli. I use it, you know, for to you know carry goods, to store goods. So it's only tame tumas. It's only tumas tumas made, not tumas midras. And then, but the chamim say, and we'll come to this shortly in the Gemara, I think. The Gemara's did I leave something out here? Because I remember studying it today. But it must be coming up in the Gemara. Because the Chum... I left it out. Let's look at the Rashi on Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom of the Rashi. On Kaf Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom of the Rashi. Misablei budus, those are the leather pouches. Vasui l'ruel anichan tachat rosho l'shchav. A shepherd sometimes will take the pouches and use it like a pillow or something like that, or to lie on it. So that's the question, whether that qualifies enough of a use to qualify it as a seed. So Chamim says it's also Tamei Tumas Midras, and Rabbi Dosa says no. Okay, that's the first way to understand the Machloket. Then Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Abdini Bar Hamduri, and he says that Chotzalot are the same as Machatzalot, same as mats, real mats. And the question is, we said that some mats are very cushy and you sit on, and those are the Usha mats. And some mats are really rough, nobody sits on. Those are the Tveria mats. But the machloket between Rabbi Dosan and the Chachamim is all the other mats in the world that people generally don't sit on it, but on occasion they do. And do we, as a result of that, you know, occasional use, do we say it's like a subject to Tumas Midras? Okay. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that we did so far? What's up, Fern? I see you reaching your hand already. Go ahead.
Does it matter in terms of its ability to be schach and not be a kli, whether it's tumat made or tumat midras? Did I miss that?
Say again, repeat. In terms of the
type of tumah that it can contract.
Right. It's not any tumah. Tumah made is just, he's using tumah made because it's not a tumah, but any tumah can contract. Right. Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, so this whole discussion doesn't really matter for purposes of schach. As long as you can get one or the other, you're out of gas for schach.
You mean that you can't use it for schach? In other words,
right,
if it's
right.
In this case, it sounds like you can't use it, but we have a problem because we learned earlier that according to certain shitot, the reed mat was usable for schach, and now we're saying according to this that it's makabel tumah. So we'll have to clarify. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Let's see who else is here. All right. Let's see. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right. So we're 5 lines from the top on Chacham Beis. 20b, 5 lines from the top. Okay. Amar Mar, Kol Achol Tzalot Metamin Tmei Meitim Rubi Dosis. This is a quote from the mission that we did before. So that all the chotzalot are substituted made according to Rabbi Dosa. So Bahatanya, but earlier in the, what? Right, the Chachamim will agree to that, right. But the Mishnah says that even Rabbi Dosa agrees that it's substituted made. Okay. He says, Bahatanya, but earlier in the Gemara we learned, Bechenia Rabbi Dosa Omer Kidvarav, that Rabbi Dosa agreed in the Braisa that I could use a reed mat as schach. So those two halachot do not go together, because if it's subject to tumah made, it means the keli, and yet Rabbi Dosa in the earlier braisa was saying I could use the reed mat as a schach. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, there's no contradiction between the two holdings. When Rabbi Dosa said that it's subject to tumah made, he meant a mat that's got a rim around it, like a rim so it could store things. And there was a little wall around the mat. He says, Gidanfa, had lately Gidanfa. Doesn't have a rim. How does the article translate it for a rim? Okay. So if it has a rim, it's subject to tumas kalim. Yeah. If it doesn't have a rim, it could be used for schach. Okay, that's the working shot. So Meitvei, now in this we ask Kasha from the following Braisa. Now again, we're going back to, we had two pshatim before about what chotzalot were. Either they meant leather pouches, which is an item that has a beit kibul, like a receptacle to store items, or else it's just a mat, and then there's no receptacle. So the Gemara says Meitvei. So this we ask Kasha from the following Braisa, and we got to plug this Braisa. It's got to be according to both pshatim, we'll see. Chotzalot shel sham shel gemi, chotzalot, whether it's like, it depends on whether we said it's like the pouch or it's the mat, of sham or gemi are two different types of plants. The shel sak is from goat hair. The shel sefira would be from horse hair. Mitami tu and meit de Rabbi Dosa. So all of them are according to Rabbi Dosa. Chachamim omrim ah midras. And the Chachamim say, it's even such to midrash. So Braisa is enlarging on the what was there was a Mishnah there before? On the Mishnah. So we have the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot, and this Braisa is enlarging on what we learned from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, B'shleim l'man d'mar mar zubli. So according to the first opinion, which was from Rav Abdimi Bar Hamduri. So Rav Abdimi Bar Hamduri, he said chotzalot meant a pouch. So it's easy for me to plug these items into pouches. He says, "B'shleim l'man d'mar mar zubli shel sham shel gemi." If it's made of sham and gemi, like different rushes, different plants, so they have, like when I make the pouch out of those plants, there'll be like little holes in it, like little spaces. But it's chazu l'kin to the peyrei. It's still good as like a pouch to hold fruit. It's still good for that. In other words, I can imagine the case that the Mishnah is talking about. shel sak v'shel sfira, if it's made out of sackcloth, which is from the goat hair, or sfira from the horse hair, the smaller holes in that, chazu l'gul kivitzani. It's good for a long pouch or a regular pouch. So pouches are pluggable. I could plug the pouch pshat, Rebbe Dini Bar Hamduri's pshat, into the brisa. But according to the second pshat, which was from Reish Lakish, that it meant actual mats, like a plain mat, he says, so from sackcloth and from horsehair, where there are very small holes, so I could use it leparse, I could use it as a curtain, I could use it as a sieve. In other words, I'll sift out different items with it, maybe flour. Ella shall sham v'shal gemi, but if it's made of these rushes with big holes, so and it's not a pouch. How what am I going to use it? L'may chazdu, what are they good to be used? And that's not working out. I can't use it for anything. And then with the fruits was when it was a pouch, but now we're not using pouch. Now it's just like a one sheet deal. So chazu l'nasiata. So the Gemara says it's still appropriate to make sort of like a blanket that covers the vat for the beer brewing. So I can use it for that. And there is a use. And it means that there's a plausible pshat that we could say with that pshat in the brisa. Okay, let me just do a little bit more and then I will pause. Ika de amre, others say, b'shleim l'ma damar machatzalot mamash. Now this is going the other way around. Others say that the language, the conversation in the Beis Medrash went this way. B'shleim l'ma damar machatzalot mamash. Like, if the one who says the actual mats, we're fine with that. Why? Shosham v'shal gemi, if it's sham and gemi, which is different types of plants, like rushes, chazu l'naziyata. That's appropriate to use for the covering for the beer vat. Shal sak v'shal sfira, the sackcloth and the horsehair, chazu l'parsei v'nafata. That's usable for a curtain or a sifting. Elaman damar marzubli, but the one who says marzubli, which is the pouch, the sackcloth and the horsehair, which is very small holes, chazu l'gul kibitzani. So I use it as a pouch, a long pouch, regular pouch. Ella shall sham shall gemi, but the sham and the gemi where I'm going to have holes in the pouch. My chazu, what can I use it for? Chazu l'kin to the peyre. So the Gemara says I can still use it as a pouch to store fruit, and the fruit will still stay in the pouch. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, we're on a roll. All right, we're six lines from the bottom, from the end of the perek, on Chaf Amud Beis, and you're all poised to finish the first perek in Sukkah. Tanya, we learned the Braisa, I'm Reb Chananya. Reb Chananya said, Shiratati Lagola. When I went to the Gola is usually like to Babel. Matzati said, now Rashi says he went to the Gola, four lines from the bottom, before the end of the perek in Rashi. He went to intercalate the year. She says, so sometimes the Romans wouldn't let them meet in Eretz Israel. They would go with Gola. Back in the Gemara, I encountered one elderly person, and he said to me, that you can use a mat. Now, Rashi is a budya, according to Rashi, is machatzelet. So budya is the same as machatzelet. You could use a reed mat as schach. Now, when we say use a reed mat as schach, if you remember, we had a brice that we quoted earlier in the Gemara, and the way Rashi understood it, it's talking about the small reed mats, and so the key is, he's bringing corroboration to the shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Dosa. Remember, Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi said in his father, "Achatzuvah do masachin ba." Not like our Mishnah. He says the small mat you can use it for schach is what he said. And then Rabbi Dosa said the same thing. So here Hanani is saying that, he says he went to his uncle Rabbi Yeshua. He found one zaken. He said he could do it. But when I came to my uncle Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua is, you know, well, he's a contemporary of the town of Reb Lezer, and it's this famous Rabbi Yeshua, and he, I assume he means that Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, he agreed with it. Now, Amar Rav Chista, Mahu delate like gedankon. Rav Chisda says, provided the mat does not have a rim around it. It's got a rim around it. It's a whole different getter. And that we said was the one that would be mekabel tuma that I couldn't use for tzchach. Now, Amar Ula, Hani Budyat, the B'nai Mechuzah. So Ula says these mats from B'nai Mechuzah, that from this town of Mechuzah, Ilmalei Kir Shalahen Mesachim, who were it not for the rim, you could do it for tzchach. Tani Nami Hachi Mesachim B'budya. So we learn another brisa that you could use the mats for tzchach. B'mi'ishlan Kir Ein Mesachim B'hem. They have this rim, you can't use it for tzchach. Hadron Lach Sukkah Yashikoach. Yashikoach. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? I hear silence. All right. I'm moving on to the next parak. All right. Let's see further. Shaya, it's nice to see you, but I'd rather see you here, Shaya. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. If possible, I'd rather see all of you here. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Hadron Lach Sukkah.
The delta and the time.
Delta and what?
The time.
And the time. Well, as far as delta, you have to see whether if you stay home the whole time and you don't go to stores, you don't go anywhere, then you have a taina. But if you go out and you do other things and intermix with other people in other places, I don't think it's such a good taina. All right.
No, but I could learn here without a mask and go to
I don't know. All right, let's see further tomorrow. Now, Hadrolach Sukkah. Now, Hayashing Tachan Amita B'Sukkah Lo Yatzei Deicho Avato. Mishnah says, if I'm in a sukkah and I'm sleeping underneath the bed in the sukkah, I don't fulfill my obligation. Why? And let's look at Rashi. Hayashing Lo Yatza. The Oel Mafsik Bein Odo Sukkah B'Yikar Yishivu Sukkah Achilu Shtiya B'Sheina. That I'm in an ohel in the sukkah. In other words, the bed constitutes an ohel. So I have an ohel in the sukkah. So an ohel in the sukkah, I'm dead in the water. So Rashi says the main, usage of the sukkah is eating, drinking, and sleeping. So he's sleeping, that's an ikar usage of the sukkah. So back in the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Noagim Ayinu, Sheinu Yishenim Tachan Amit B'Fnei Hazkenim, Lo Amru Lanu Davar. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite. So the Tana Kama says, you can't sleep under the bed. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, we were accustomed to sleep under the bed in the presence of the Zakenim, and they didn't say anything to us. So that proves that I could sleep under a bed. Now, we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, at least according to one Ukimta, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and he had this on Ahmed Bey's, remember Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah could be Lamala Meisri Mama. And then we learned in Dav Zion, Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah is a Dirat Keva. So he learns a Dirat Keva. The bed, he learns, is like a Diras Arai. So Rashi learns, and we'll see tomorrow more, Rashi learns in the second Rashi, no gima yinu hulei tam first regard lo ati ola arai mvatli ola keva. So an ola arai, a temporary ohel, is not going to be vatel an ola keva, which is what he views in the sukkah itself. So we'll see more about that tomorrow. Now, back in the Mishnah. I'm a Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon is usually Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There was an incident with Tavi, the servant Rabbi Gamliel, who's mentioned in other places in Shas. Remember when Tavi died, Rabbi Gamliel accepted Tanchumim for him. He said, Tavi is not like other Avadim. And then there's all the halachot. Remember, so he says, I think the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel, he sent Tavi to buy him the best thing he could find in the marketplace. And it came back with a tongue. He said, Bobby, the worst thing, it came back with a tongue. And then he said that's a tongue could be the worst of the best of the worst thing. If you use your tongue for good, it's the best. Use it for Lashon Hara, it's the worst. Anyway, the Gemara has different stories about Tavi. So he says, Amas Tavi of Dosh Rabbi Gamliel, Sheyayashen Tachan Amita. He, Tavi, now he's an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is obligated in mitzvot like a woman. So a woman is not obligated in the sukkah. So Tavi, he was sleeping under the bed in the sukkah. The Amarla and Rabbi Gamliel is Kanim. Rabbi Gamliel said to the Zakenim, Retem Tavi Abdi, Shu Talmid Chacham. Have you seen Tavi, who's a big Talmid Chacham? The Yodei Shabbatim Kiturim in a sukkah. He knows that as an Eved, he's patur from the sukkah. Rafichach Yashin Hutachan Amita. And therefore, he's sleeping under the bed. So this is Rabbi Shimon speaking. Like in the, as a result of this casual conversation, we learned that you're not yotzei. So again, let's go back to the Mishnah. It's short, simple, but it's a little complicated. The Tama holds, if you sleep under the bed, you're not yotzei. The Tana Rabbi Huda holds, you are yotzei. And then Rabbi Gamliel says that you are not yotzei. Okay, so we have Rabbi Gamliel and Tana Kama, not yotzei, and Rabbi Huda holds, you are yotzei. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. We're 6 lines from the bottom of the Gemara.
Can I ask a question? Do we learn from Tavi, or do we learn from a woman that they slept under the? I mean,
no.
In other words,
you're really learning from Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is saying, "You see, Tavi, my servant, he's sleeping under the bed because he's a Talmid Chacham. He knows that an Eved is not chayav in Sukkah, and therefore he's sleeping under the bed." So from that statement of Rabbi Gamliel, we're extrapolating that that you're not yotzei if you're lying under a bed, sleeping under a bed.
So all why right? didn't he sleep in the house? I mean, what's the point of sleeping under the bed?
That's a good question. Let's wait. Let's see if we can get to it. Okay, let's wait. We'll have some hesperim for us. Okay, let me go through the daf, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, now according to the Tana Kama and Rabbi Gamliel, you're not yotzei if you sleep under the bed. So that's an ol. So the Gemara says v'haleka asar, but there's not 10 tefachim. The Gemara assumes between the floor and the base and the whatever, like the mattress or the bed. He says so. If it's not 10 tefachim, it can't be an ol, because in order to be rishus, I need at least 4 tefachim by 10 tefachim high. So tirgam Shmuel mita asar. So Shmuel says the Mishnah is talking about where I did have 10 tefachim. Now we're going to begin the next sugya, and then this sugya will have to continue on to tomorrow. Tanana Tam, we learn in the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot. And again, Ahalot is one of those Masechet that we don't do in Daf Yomi, but you get a little bit of everything in Daf Yomi. Now, this Mishnah is talking about if I have a kizayis from a mate or a mate underneath in an ohel, so the tumah spreads all over the place, but what we have to define, what is an ohel? So Tanana Tam, Echad Chur Shecharumayim. I can have a hole that was dug out by the water. And I think we have pictures here in our picture book for a hole that was dug through the water. Let's get our picture books out. And okay, I'm here. It's on page 71, I'm told. Okay. So let's see what it's
255.
Yeah. Okay. So in the picture, you see like there's a cleft in the rock where the yellow is that was, you know, worn out by the water. Anyway, that's his head there. Yeah, I don't know. I think it does have a better picture. Oh, what do you have? Let me see. Yeah. Okay. So here in the Masifta, I don't know if you can see this, but the Masifta Gemara has, like the water creates a little cleft there. Anyway, but let me see what the Perish Chai has got. Let me get this. Oh yeah. So the Perish Chai, the picture of the Perish Chai is page 65. It's more looks more like the picture from the Masifta. You see, there's a little like a little cleft under the rock that was done by the water. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. So he says here, so echad chur shecharumayim, a hole that was dug by water. Osheratzim, or crawling, creeping, you know, creatures. Osh, you have a picture of that? Okay, let me see the crawling, creeping creatures. Yeah, so the picture book, he's got that. Osh achalatu malachat, or it was like by corrosion, like corrosion. Does he have a picture of the corrosion? Okay, corrosion he doesn't have. Okay, corrosion he doesn't have. He says, in other words, like the salt. B'chein midbach avanim. He says like a pile of boulders, a pile of beans. Now, we'll see in a minute. Ma'ahil alatuma. According to the Tana Kama, there was each one of these holes. If I have kizayis of a mate under one of the holes, the tumah spreads all over the place. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol ohel, sheinu asui bidei adam, eino ohel. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that any ohel that wasn't constructed by man is not an ohel. And Rashi says on the bottom line, not only that he constructs it, but he intends to create an opening with it. So even in this case where I have like the Midbach Shel Avanim and the Sabar Shel Korot, even with the, like here with the, where I have the boards and the stones in the picture book, but the person does not intend to create an OL by building those things. He doesn't intend to create like something to store or some things like that in it. So it's it's not an OL. So Kurikamim, it is an OL. I have an area where I could put something and the tomb will spread all over. Kurikamihuda, if it's not Bidei Adam, it's not. It has to be A, constructed by man. So that's done with the sea and with the shratzim, but it also has to be, even if man did it, he intends it to create an oel with it, which they didn't, none of those cases are. So the Gemara says, my Tavit is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be Bei Adam? Top line of Chafal Pam and Aleph. He only to oel from Mishkan. He learns Exer Shava, oel from Mishkan. Tiv Hacha Zora Torah Adam Kimot Ba'oel. It says in Parsh Chukat, this is the Torah, this is the law of a person dies in an OL, meaning you have a dead body that's in an OL. And then it says, in looks like in Parshas Pekudei, the Moshe Rabbeinu spread the OL. OL is one of the coverings of the Mishkan. In other words, by Yefrosad OL, spread the OL on the Mishkan. In other words, one covering is called Mishkan, one is called OL. I think the lower one with the fabric is called Mishkan, and then the one with the goat hair is called OL. So he spread the ohel on the Mishkan. Malahalan bidei adam, just like by the Mishkan, it was by man. Afkan bidei adam. Rabbanan, the Chachamim, Hormachulak, ohel ohel riba. They say that the Torah mentions the ohel more than once in Parsha Chukat, and from those extra ohels, we can learn that it's even, look at Rashi, top line, olim tuvaktiv Parsha Parah. This is ohel all over the place. Rabot afas tu mi'alav. That includes even things that were constructed by themselves. Okay, now, let me see if I can get to Fern's idea. So what was Fern's question again about Tavi? Yeah, okay, let's take a look. Now, all right, we'll wrap it up with this. Okay, now, the Tanakh of the Mishnah says that one who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah does not fill the mitzvah of the yeshiva sukkah. He's not dwelling under a valid staff. To substantiate the halakha of the Mishnah cites an incident whereby Rabbi Gamliel's Eved Nani, Gentile purchased by a Jewish slave named Tavi, slept under a bed in the sukkah, prompting Rabbi Gamliel to praise the slave's Torah scholarship. Tavi's choice of sleeping spot indicated he was aware of the fact that Avadim are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. When an Eved Kanani is purchased by a Jew, he undergoes a conversion process through which he acquires the status of a partial Yisrael. Avadim Kanani are scripturally compared to women, are therefore obligated to perform the same mitzvot as women. Rashi explains that women are exempt from the Shibit sukkah because the mitzvah is mangrama, therefore Avadim are too exempt. Yerushalmi notes that even though women and slaves are exempt from yeshivat sukkah, they're still permitted to perform the mitzvah. So let's get into this. So even if I'm patur from the mitzvah, I could still perform the mitzvah. Indeed, the Ran says that a woman or a slave who dwells in a sukkah should recite a bracha because they fulfill a mitzvah, even though they're exempt. So according to the Ran, that's the way we Ashkenazim paskin. If a woman eats in a sukkah, she makes the bracha. Consequently, the Yerushalmi asks why Tavi slept under a bed. This is similar. That's Baruch Shekivat Fagi. Okay. This is the Rishami answers that there were many rabbis using the sukkah, and therefore Tavi took his place under the bed to make room for those who were obligated to the mitzvah. He says the reason he did not leave the sukkah, like Fern suggested entirely, is that he wanted to listen in on the rabbi's Torah discussion. So he's the Talmid Chacham. He wants to hang out with the Rabbanim. He wants to hear the Torah. But he's not chayiv in the sukkah. Everybody's all crowded all over the place. So he says, I have the perfect case. I'll sleep under the bed. Maybe another rabbi will be on top of me, but I'll be under the bed. So now the Gemara in Shabbos Hof Gimel and Megillah Daf Dalet states that women are obligated to kindle Hanukkah lights and hear the Megillah, even though they are misasacious von grama, because afen ayubo to anes. Women too were included in the miracle of Hanukkah, and Purim were spared from danger. Tosos and Sakhan asked why women are exempt from yeshivat sukkah. Since they too were included in the miracle of Yisrael Mitzrayim and were protected by the Anei Kavod, they too should be obligated to commemorate the miracle.
That was my next question.
Look at that, Fern. You're up to everything.
I too.
All right, the women are on to this. The women are on to it. There are two to it. Let's say again. So there's a cloud
of Gemara. Okay,
Yosef's asking a question. So there's a cloud of Gemara has of Apein Ayubo Toanes. Now, there's a Machloket. in Tosos, like when we use Hapayim Yubo to an ace, but according to one shot, I can even use it by a mitzvah deraisa, and it can even create a mitzvah deraisa by Hapayim Yubo to an ace. According to others, I only use it by mitzvah derabanan and things like that, but assuming that it's by mitzvah deraisa. So the question is, So Tosos asks the Pesachim, why are women exempt from sukkah? Afena yubo to an ace. Now, there's also a question, what is an afena yubo to an ace? Whether it's persecution or the miracle, but clearly they're involved with the miracle of the sukkah. Now, above on Daf Yud Aleph, we cited the Vilna Gaon explains that we are committed to build a sukkah to commemorate the return of the Anei Kavod after the Bnei Israel forgiven for the sin of the golden calf. So the Gra understands the question is, why do we celebrate Sukkot in the fall? So all of Farshim ask on this. So there's a famous tour who says that it's in the fall because in the spring everybody's going out and enjoying themselves in their backyards, but in the fall people are coming back into the house, and so it's Nikar, your Yeshivat Sukkah is the Shemitzah. But the Gra says differently. The Gra says that the Sukkah corresponds to the Anei Kavod. If somebody is, I'm not muted, I got to mute everybody here. I don't like when people are unmuted. All right. So the Gra says that it's the Anei Kavod. So the Anei Kavod, when Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel, the Anei Kavod split. They didn't come back until after Moshe, after they started building the Mishkan. So the Gra proves that Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur, and then the next day he directed them to bring like the different contributions for the Mishkan. And the Chachamim picked up the contributions on the 15th of Tishrei. And maybe that's when the Anei Kavod came back. That's the way the Vilna Gaon learned. Now, the Chasam Sofer remarks that according to the Vilna Gaon, Tosa's question is answered. So Tosa says, why don't we say women are chayav in the midst of Yeshivat Sukkah? So the Chazal tells us that while the men donated golden ornaments for the making of the golden calf, the wives righteously refused to partake in the sin. There's nice Torah for the sukkah. When you're Malka, sukkahs, when you're under the sukkah, you say over this Torah. So he says, how come women aren't chayav afena you both on ace? So the Gra says that it was because the Anei Kavod that came back after the sin of the golden calf. But the women weren't involved. They didn't make contributions to the golden calf.
But they didn't have the Anei Kavod.
Please, wait. You're forgetting our rules here. Now. So he quotes different midrashim. So he says, since the women did not partake in the sin of the golden calf, the Chasam Sofer suggests they were never expelled from the Anei Kavod. The women somehow always had the Anei Kavod. The men didn't. I don't know how that physically works, but the women had the Anei Kavod. Therefore, the principle of Afena Yubo Tornes is not applicable to Mitzvah Sukkah because the women did not experience the reappearance of the Anei Kavod on the 15th of Tishrei, as did the men. Isn't that a nice piece of Torah?
Yeah, that's nice from Torah. Disney. That's from Disney.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Oh, stop it.
That's what it is.
It's saying that women are more chashuv than the men. They didn't give the golden calf.
They didn't need the Anei Kavod to come back.
Boy, you got an
obnoxious
crowd.
Hello?
What? Yeah. Okay, wait. 1 second, Aaron Moshe. Sal speaking. I'll be with you in 10 seconds. What's up?
Because women are always in a bar.
Okay, I won't repeat that. Okay, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say that.
He said women are always in a fog. Okay, anyway, now go ahead, Aaron Moshe.
Who is that?
A woman, Grusha, came to Rav Pam. And she said to Rav Pam that she has the little children. She's not b'choyev and sicker, and she's not shkangeled, and the kids are not b'choyev either. So Rav Pam said to her, "That's true, but Anisha Cheshuva, like yourself, should be sitting in a sukkah." So the next day, a sukkah showed up.
That's Queen Helena from Sukkot, from the one of the pages we already read.
I like it. We got all these Tamid Chachamim here, Tamidot Chachamot. Or whatever the right term is. Anyway, listen.
Burn.
Right.
Who said women are in the fog?
Right.
Goldberg.
On the 15th of Tishrei.
Goldberg?
Okay. All right, listen, I'm ending. Let me end the recording here. 1 second.